Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. You are listening to the only show that actually talks about tangible solutions that will get us out from underneath this despotic federal government that is doing so many things that are outside the enumerated powers in the Constitution. I know it's been a while since I have cited and read some of the ratification debates, but I truly believe we need to go through them again because I'm not sure if enough of you have heard some of these so that you understand just how limited the federal government is by this Constitution. Most people think it's just some noble guide of governance, and that is not the case. It is like a power of attorney, as Mr. Iredell said in North Carolina. Have you ever heard of a power of attorney or a power of attorney that allows people to just assume things? Or that I'll just have to cite that when we get into that, because he puts the Constitution into perspective of a power of attorney. Most people understand a power of attorney. The Constitution is the same thing. What is in that power of attorney is the only thing you can do. If it's a general power of attorney, then look out. You have full power and authority to do something for somebody. But if it's an enumerated power of attorney, you can only do those few things that are in it. And that's the same thing with the Constitution. And I don't understand why people don't teach these types of principles, but the reason why most people don't even hear these types of principles is because they've never been taught the ratification debates and how important these founding documents are to what the Constitution really means and to what it really says, what each line is defined as or is agreed to be this. They defined the Constitution in these ratification debates, and those definitions are legally binding. So, as you know, the show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org and RepublicReview.org, and we've got a lot of things to be going through. So, if you need to listen and you're unable to tune in or stream, and if you have data limitations, but you have unlimited calling, call in 605-562-4209 and you can get your Reclaiming the Republic on, okay? Now, I'm just going to ask real quick, because we're probably wrapping up, this is the second week of the Mueller hiatus. I've asked everybody to take a two-week hiatus. Some people, they just can't get away from it. They can't get away from the news that isn't going anywhere. And it's a nothing burger. The only thing that's really important is the Barr starts getting to the bottom of why there was a 2-year investigation against the president in the first place. So, of course, with all of these things starting to come up, Mueller is, being the ideologue that he is, of course he's going to want to testify. He has a reputation to try to defend. He has an ideological movement that needs defending because if it gets unearthed, then, if he doesn't put his spin on it, just like Comey puts his spin on the deep state, then, people will take the investigation or Barr's word or all of us that have been talking about the deep. So they're trying to spin and marginalize. No. This is no deep state. This is no, this is no conspiracy. It was just an interesting coincidence of events. And they're hoping you buy that. I'm not sure if you're following Assange, but apparently he has been put in prison in the UK for at least 50 weeks. Why? What happens in 50 weeks? What happens in a year? Well, America starts moving towards a presidential election, right? Actually, by that point in time, in 50 weeks, they should have, because I believe the Democratic convention is in March. So they'll already know who is going to be the Democratic nominee. This is totally an absolute political positioning so that they can hold on to Assange, keep him out of, you know, the public's eye for the next year, because they, I don't believe they want to get him to Trump, because I'm of the opinion that Trump is probably not going to want to prosecute. I think they have some interesting conversations that'll come up, but I don't think he's going to prosecute, or he may prosecute him for the things that, you know, he should not have printed. He should not have, because we have strict violations of those laws and national security, and we would want to inflict some kind of pressure upon people for violating our security principles and so forth. And so anyway, it's kind of tough to make those things stick when it happens in a different country and they're not subject to, and those types of things. I just know that we have a responsibility in protecting our national security interests and these vital things that we're doing. And a lot of these things I just don't like. A lot of these things I just don't think we should be doing. But I do believe that we have a responsibility of having a good and a high integrity intelligence community in knowing what the heck's going on when we've got boots on the ground or those types of things. And so bottom line, we have to do the right thing. And anyway, Assange and Snowden, in my book, and I know this may insult you, but we should have the conversation. I haven't done it yet. I haven't gone into all the details, but I do believe that they are, they're not outliers, but they're opportunists, especially Snowden. Snowden's an opportunist because there hasn't been a really good legal constitutional process put into place for whistleblowers to whistleblow against the federal government. So we'll have to get into that. And if I forget, and this is a big issue for you and you want to talk about this, send me an email to remind me, because there's all sorts of things that are going to be coming up between now and 2020, even tomorrow, because actually some things have come up that we are going to divert a little bit. We got a lot of good content that's going to be coming up tomorrow, and I will get into that in just a minute. But as you know, we do need a little help. We are saving the Constitution. We're here to actually save our constitutional republic and save your liberties. So we need your help. Either get involved, get informed, do something, take a stand. One of the things that you have been doing that you can do is let people know about this radio show, about this content. Let them know, hey, there's this thing called Republic Review. This guy has this plan of getting the states to actually lead the charge in forcing the federal government into compliance. Wow, what a novel concept. Compliance, right? Get involved. Send me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. You can also financially help us. I'm just looking to get some help and assistance with travel expenses and so forth. So if you want to help with travel expenses, by all means, just fire me, you know, or actually go to GoFundMe. You don't have to fire me a check. Just go to GoFundMe and deposit a little bit of money there. We're going to Wyoming tomorrow. And so the airing that we're going to air tomorrow will be interesting. I think you'll find it interesting. You're going to, this is all new, and this actually supports some stuff that we talked about, but let me not jump into that yet. So we could use your financial help in our GoFundMe or our crowdfunding campaign on GoFundMe, reclaimingtherepublic.org. You can find that there. And there's other two other things we would recommend you get involved in, and that's our firstright.org, as well as constitutionclub.ning.com with Keith Broders and Aaron Williams-Lee, I believe. I believe that that's correct. And so get involved in these organizations. Get involved somehow, especially if they've got a good solution that's actually going to contribute to making our lives a little better or draining the swamp. And those two organizations actually do that. So it's, I guess it's the May time of year. And so there's the May Day, you know, where communists come out of the woodwork and the Labor Party around the world celebrates communism. And then there's the 5th of May celebration as well. none of those, and go look and see how much the world stands up for collectivization and communism. Go look and how much Mexicans stand up for their 5th of May. And I'm going to ask you, why is it that we're doing nothing for Constitution Day? It's just around the corner. What are your plans? Let us know. Tell us what you want. If you're going to have a block party, let us know. At least we know that there are people out there that are actually trying to improve the constitutional awareness and so forth. And is your block party, you're going to read the Constitution and then, you know, have a few toasts and so forth? That would be great. Do something special in recognizing the Constitution. And with that, let me just say that I did scan the news and there is no sign that the federal government is going to give up any of its tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers. What that means is if we're going to get our liberties back, if we're going to take back those things that have been usurped from us by a government that does not have the constitutional authority to do those things, then that means you and I are going to have to do it. We're going to have to get our states to take a stand because it is the state legislatures who are the sovereigns, who have the responsibility of doing this. We go through this all the time, but that's what we need to do, and it ain't going to happen unless you and I do it. So we're at a hard break, so please stay tuned, and we'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. The show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. And so we were just talking about getting you involved, right? And one way you can get involved is by going to Red Pill Expo, June 7th, 8th, and 9th, literally a month away. It's up in Hartford, Connecticut. Make your plans, book your hotel, get up there, or at least check out the streaming. Things like this cost money. I know most people, you know, I mean, you'll spend money to go see some musician that has a questionable lifestyle, why don't you consider looking at supporting these people that, if you want to call them soapbox prophets, if you want to call them, people that have been doing a lot of hard work and research and giving you information, there's no doubt in my mind. I know Trevor Lawton will be there. I know probably Tom DeWeese. I know Alex Newman will be there. There's going to be a lot of people there that have great empirical data, great information, analysis, and so forth as to what the problems are. So I will tell you, get there. Be a part of that. Be a part of the informing of America. So here's what we're going to do tomorrow. As a matter of fact, I just mentioned Alex Newman. If you've never heard of him, Alex Newman is an American journalist and a consultant who writes about economics, finance, banking, business, and politics for a lot of diverse publications in the United States. He studied journalism, economics, and political science at the University of Florida. And so Alex is also the CEO of Liberty Centennial Media, and he has traveled America and beyond speaking on crucial subjects and has been interviewed on hundreds of programs, TVs, and so forth, and I'm actually going to have him on. His foremost focus right now is our education system. Remember those rants I went through in November, December. And, you know, I usually get into this. Every time there's a school shooting. So I got to tell you, I'm having a tongue problem. I went and saw the dentist. And so anyway, my tongue is in the way. That happens to you when you go see the dentist. So forgive me if I have problems pronouncing some words. I'm doing my best. Anywho, he is a foremost speaker on what is happening in our national indoctrination centers. And so because I've talked about these concepts that the school system is actually teaching kids, especially if you're a kid and you have a Christian home, they're teaching your kids to hate you, and they're teaching your kids not to trust you, and that you are the problem, that you are the one that is trying to ruin their ability to have a good time. They don't care about the debt. They want to be able to become sexual, giants. They believe that whatever makes them feel good is important. That's why they're sexualizing our kids. There's no doubt in my mind. I've talked about this, and that's why I've known lots of good Christian families and good people that their kids are all of a sudden hating them. What the heck's going on? And there's no doubt in my mind that because the parents are seen as the authority for Christianity in their lives, they hate Christianity. So organizations like We Believe We Vote is an organization that actually attunes kids what not to vote for, to vote against those things. Do you understand what they're doing? They're getting these kids weaponized in actually going after things that are good, wholesome, and those types of things, and finding out how to thwart them by voting against them. And so these kids are foaming at the mouth to throw away their liberties. I've been saying this for a long time. That's why I've been talking a lot about the statistics of kids in the school system and how by 2024, you hear me almost every day say 2024 is it. Your kids are the useful idiots that will be the Bolshevik Revolution. Whether you like it or not, unless we step up, unless we invoke Republic Review and get the federal government on its heels and peel it apart so that it no longer has these powers, then, you know, that's it, folks. That's all she wrote. Or what was that pig cartoon? That's all, folks. Anyway, Porky the Pig, I think, is the name. Anyway, let me move on. We're going to have him on tomorrow. And who knows, we may get a lot of content so that we may actually spread that into Monday or Tuesday as well. This is need to know stuff. Have you noticed, though, on a different tangent, on a different note, let me go down this tangent. Have you noticed that the Fed rates are holding? What's going on? usually when the Fed rates are holding, and we just had a report that we had a high GDP. What's going on? Because they always want to stifle a growing economy. Are they trying to undermine Trump, or what the heck's going on? And so if you're not watching, you know, because I'm telling you right now, the mainstream media and all of the financial channels, I don't think any of them's telling you really what the heck's going on. They're just kind of telling you what you may want to hear or what have you, just so they can get more money. Because these guys make more money as their viewership goes up and getting you to invest and so forth. So I'm just letting you know that because the Fed is steady on the rate, it's not going to raise or lower the rate. That's interesting. And the rates are actually low, but what's going on? And I know that there's this contention between the Fed and Trump. Is the Fed a part of the cabal? Are they a part of the deep state? Of course they are. So what the heck's going on? Britain is holding off for a year, right? Britain won't release Julian Assange until 2020. The Fed rate seems like they're, for the most part, I think they've committed to not doing anything for the rest of the year. I think 2020 may be a big bang year in lots of different ways. And so we've got to focus on the ball. We've got to focus on what is important if we want to save our liberties. If that's important to you, then we may need to really focus. Anyway, one of the things I got to tell you, because I've talked a lot about the Me Too movement and so forth, and to me, I'm absolutely shocked that, you know, these, you know, anything that is going on that would be, you know, caught up in the Me Too movement is just absolutely stupidity. And so I have to tell you that there's a Kansas City Democrat who announced his resignation today, or Monday. Yeah, Monday this week. Amid the findings by the Missouri House that he made unwelcome advances towards his employee and then later fired that employee because they were, you know, complaining and wanting to go forward with complaints and so forth. And so come on, guys. Are you kidding me? This is what happens when we debase our society and we just think that, you know, I know guys constantly think, but it's called discipline. And there's no doubt in my mind, every man in the world throughout the history, in the annals of history, men have struggled with these things. It's called discipline. And our society does not encourage and or try to teach people discipline in trying to put these types of things at bay. That's the problem. We've been debased. And so I guess I'm not surprised that these things are going on, but come on. I mean, if you want to completely destroy your life and become completely worthless, because you're not going to have a job of any magnitude if you are doing these types of things. Come on, get with the discipline concept. Get with enlightenment. Is that so hard? But the problem is, unfortunately, society doesn't want to go down the path of enlightenment. They want to keep these things problems still occurring so that they can reach out and use these examples as why women need to be in control of everything. All of these factions are dividing us, and they're all out for their own self-serving gain, whether it's the homosexual faction, whether it is the women's feminist faction, whatever. Divided, we will be conquered. United, we will withstand. And so that's an adage that is true, and it rings loudly. So let me ask you a question now, because I'm going to get into something else regarding the shenanigans that local government likes to do. How liberals like to hold your civil rights hostage. And so let's examine the word or term civil rights. What is a civil right? Civil right is something that is being protected by the laws of government, right? And so we believe that all men were created equal based on our Declaration of Independence, that all people, you know, have a right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Nowhere does it say property, but the two objects of government that Madison said, I believe it was in Federalist Paper 51-10, or it was definitely in the Federalist Papers, he stated that the two objects of government are to protect life and to protect property. Okay? And so you would think that your local government, in protecting life and property, the two services that it should be providing would be maybe police and fire and, you know, medical, you know, emergency medicals, you know, ambulance, that type of service, instead of food banks and all the social programs and the entitlement programs and so forth. Those would come secondary. But the shenanigans of local government is that they always hold the things, education, firefighting, police, and those things hostage so that they can get more money out of you, so they can spend more money on the entitlements. We're at a hard break. We'll be right back and talking about what's going on in Houston as soon as we come back. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
So you have a civil right in your government providing you with protection of your life, providing you with protection of your property. And, you know, if protection of your life includes ambulance services, police, and so forth, or firefighting services to pull you out of a fire because some commercial business, started burning up. Who knows? But your local government has a fundamental response. I mean, that is your fundamental civil rights that the government should be protecting you in those capacities. Specifically, your local government. You don't go after your federal government because you didn't get saved by the firefighters. You go after your county or your municipality or whatever you fall under in that polity, the local polity. And so the city of Houston has sent 60-day layoff notices to more than 200 Houston firefighters. 60-day layoff. In other words, as of, I think, June, everybody will be on furlough.
So let me get into the details. Last week, the city council voted 10-6 to lay off 220 firefighters to implement Proposition B, which requires firefighters to be paid the same as police of similar rank and experience. In other words, they're kind of going after like a pay rate that, just like in the military, regardless of what you're, you know, what you do, everybody makes the same pay. If you're an intelligence like I was, or if you're a cook, or if you're a supply guy, or if you're just a grunt pulling the trigger, killing people, or recon, or an avionics guy making airplanes fly, everybody makes the same pay. And so I just want to make this clear, because I've said this many times before. The military is the perfect, and I mean this, and I'm not trying to insult anybody because it always pisses people off. It is the perfect application of communism because it is voluntary. And everybody has an opportunity to get out when their time is up. If you don't like being told what to do, being held at an equal standard, equal pay, all labor is equal if you're pushing a broom or if you're doing surgery. Now, there are little benefits and so forth, but it is a perfect application of communism or slavery to the state. Okay? And so what they're trying to do at the municipal level is they're trying to implement socialism for all government employees. But they just targeted firefighters because apparently the police haven't been very good in articulating a better demand for better pay. So they're going down this path of saying all pay is equal. I don't believe so. I think this is wrong. I think they're going in the wrong position. And the fact that they're laying off 200 firefighters, if you live in Houston, if you lose your house and somebody dies in your house because they didn't have the ability to respond in time, and it's proven, you might have a good lawsuit against the city of Houston because they failed to protect your civil rights. The fundamental right of protecting you, you know, and your property from harm and or, you know, death or what have you, and loss and so forth. So anyway, the whole point is that they're actually implementing socialism to this level. The Houston Professional Firefighters Association released the following statement. We are deeply disappointed that Samuel Pena has become the first fire chief in Houston history to willingly execute mass layoffs and demotions of firefighters. Now, I don't know if these guys are union, but I'm having a hard time. That association, I think that makes them a union. And so I think that this may be a good legal case for the union negotiated pays and benefits and so forth. We remind Houstonians that contrary to what the fire chief claims, reduced fire and EMS coverage will endanger our communities. City-funded analysis confirmed in 2016 that the Houston Fire Department is already understaffed and under-resourced. The forthcoming Houston Fire Department personnel and service cuts, which follow a generation of neglect of Houston Fire Department fleet and facilities, will only intensify risks to us and the citizens we serve. Now, of course, Pena released his statement behind this. He's the chief, and he says, the city of Houston has experienced a sizable budget shortfall. So it comes down to money, my friends. And so due to that shortfall and the implementation of Proposition B, equalizing pay, without an agreement to phase in the cost of $80 to $100 million a year, the city has stated there is no option to balance the budget without a reduction in fire department personnel. Now, you figure out how much, if they're looking for an $80 to $100 million shortfall in their budget, help me out here. They're laying off 200, which means that in 2 months' time, 60 days, they're going to make up $80 million in that labor cut. That's pretty good pay. I mean, for most people. And I tell people, you know, there's honor in serving as a fireman or as a police officer, but that's a lot of money. And The problem that I see is that they have no business going down and cutting these types of things. It's one thing to just say, hey, we have to cut pay, but it's another thing to come back and say, you know, we're laying you off. And as a matter of fact, there's lots of guys and people that would probably quit if all of a sudden their pay got reduced. But the problem is that the city, local, state, federal government, they constantly hold you hostage so that they can do these other services that they're not obligated to do. Why are they doing welfare services? They could and should turn that over to the churches, because the churches should be the ones doing compassionate service, not government. Oh, well, what are we going to do if you're an atheist and you're out of work? Then you better find God. You better find some religion somehow, right? Does that make sense? I hope so. Because I believe that if somebody's down on their luck, they should be seeking compassionate services from a civil organization, not a government, or private organization, not a government organization. Anyway, there is this thing that I've called a new term, and it's called commercial terrorism. In the old days, when we didn't like what somebody was doing, what we would do is we would call it a boycott. But today, there are organizations, because they're creating a name for themselves, like Antifa, BLM, and so forth, that they're actually threatening harm and danger to corporations. And to me, that is commercial terrorism, and at the minimum, commercial extortion. Leftists have threatened, this is out of the Need to Know News with G. Edward Griffin, leftists threatened to ruin the reputation of the Baker Creek Seed Company, forcing it to cancel a speaking engagement about growing crookneck watermelon from heirloom seeds featuring Cliven Bundy from Nevada. The leftists say that the rancher who had a dispute over paying federal taxes on his land was a violent racist. Are you kidding me? So they're besmirching American patriot Cliven Bundy, and they're basically extorting from this company, either you do this or we're going to come after you. It's one thing to boycott, but to extort a specific behavior is extortion. It's a crime. And this Baker Creek company should be going and reporting and giving all of this information to the local authorities. The problem is the local authorities are steeped with corruption and a part of this deep state progressive, secular progressive movement, or way too many of them are. And so where was this again? He's from Nevada. I believe this is somewhere in the Midwest, maybe Missouri, Kansas, or someplace like that. You look it up, you find out, you let me know, and I will let everybody else know the facts on where this Baker Creek Seed Company is. But bottom line, my friends, we are being extorted, and that should be considered a crime. And so this is happening. As a matter of fact, it happened to my good friends at Northwest Grassroots, where they have been label lynched because these folks are not racists at all, and they've been label lynched as racist. And there have been events that they've been trying to do that Antifa and these other groups come by and they threaten, we're going to come by and do harm and damage to your business. And so what businesses need to do is they need to get the the phone number and identify who the person is, or try to talk to the person, go, hey, well, we're interested in what you have to say. Get these things recorded and turn it over to the police, because as far as I'm concerned, when somebody is communicating a crime over the telephone, you should have the ability, even if you're in a two-person consent state, you should have the ability to record those conversations and turn those into law enforcement so that you can actually prosecute these people, bring them to justice, because nobody should be using extortion over businesses to get you to politically behave the way they want you to. That is how far they have gone ideologically, and that is the ideological war that we're facing here. I was talking about this yesterday. I've been talking about this for years. Well, when we come back in our next segment, we're going to talk about some some other G. Edward Griffin need-to-know news regarding Trump, Saudi, and so forth. But we'll do that when we come back. I don't want to run over, so please stay tuned, and we'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. Okay, so some people don't want to have any actions in Venezuela, but apparently, regardless of the deaths and the tyranny and the oppression and everything else that's going on there, in our hemisphere, under our Monroe Doctrine, and then when people start talking about what happened in Saudi, you know, this is what the Need to Know News stated. The Trump admitted that we can't offend the Saudis because we made $450 billion in weapons sales. I don't know if that's over the year, over the past couple of years, over his presidency or what have you. The Saudi war in Yemen has led to the death of 200,000 people or more, and 60% of the civilians who were killed. Doesn't say how many of these are the percentage of the 200,000. You have a 200,000 number here, right? 200,000. What's the percentage of them being civilians? And 60% of the civilians who were killed, so it may have been 10%, but 60% is a high number out of that 10%, right? So that'd be 20,000. So 60% of that would be what? About, it'd be 12,000. That were kids under the age of 5. So that's a lot of kids that would die if it was that number in representation. But I don't know. I'm just looking at what the numbers are and how it's presented. The whole thing that happened there was this beheading of 39 people for these crimes and violations of people. Oh, this is terrible. Well, that is Islam. That's how Islam treats people. That's how Islam exacts its justice. They don't have what I would consider a trial by jury. They don't have the rights that we have here. Do we want to do a regime change there? I don't know. I'm just putting it out there rhetorically. I will also bring up this interesting tidbit of news from G. Edward Griffin's Need to Know News. The trans illusion or insanity is what I will lead this off with. A British Columbia Supreme Court justice issued a court order to force the father of a 14-year-old biological girl who was transitioning to a male, she's going to become a male, to stop misgendering the youth. The father countered that move. The move would violate his rights to free speech and thought. The father's appeal is slated to be heard in a British Court of Appeals on May 14th. At stake is a precedent set by last month's ruling that children have a right to transition and parents must respect their chosen gender pronouns and names. In other words, kids who have no wisdom can decide what they want to do for themselves. This is being embraced by the British government. If you don't think that this is evil, that we're allowing kids to raise themselves and to make these kinds of decisions, I hope that some of these kids that were stupid enough to go down this path of, you know, because they've been enabled to do these things. And I hope some of these kids, when they finally recognize what a mistake they made and they try to go back, come back and sue the British government for enabling them to be stupid because their parents did everything they could. Because the only people, and I've said this time and time again, the only people that really care what's best for that child is the parent. The British government doesn't care what happens to that child. It's about a political agenda. The school system doesn't care. As soon as that child graduates from school, they've got other kids that they're rubbing their hands on and, you know, and getting all, oh boy, we're getting excited because we have more minds that we can corrupt. And as soon as those kids are gone, they're ready for the next wave and the next wave and the next wave. They don't care. The only people who care are losing their rights, their fundamental God-given rights as parents over their kids. This is a crime, and this is what I hope to be talking with Alex Newman about as well, as some of this stuff starts peeling out and as we start getting into, you know, these types of topics. Now, I'm not sure if you still deny the fact that we are in an ideological civil war, but here we go. Approximately 1,300 migrants from Central America and Cuba rioted and escaped from an immigration holding facility in southern Mexico last Thursday. The move was started by Cuban migrants who made up the majority of those held in that facility. Cuban migrants in Mexico, how did the heck they get there? Oh, that's right. They don't have the same kind of policies that we do. Mexican authorities have not released any information about the injuries during the riot and escape. However, they did reveal that approximately 700 later returned to the shelter. So there's still another, 600 out there that are running around and are potentially heading towards the border because that's what they're doing. And getting back into this ideological war, we're at war in so many different fronts, from the sexualization and who has parental rights, transgenderism, these people that believe they have a right and access and should be able to come here, vote, and actually start dictating what's best for America. My friends, our liberty is in onslaught in so many different ways that we are under attack. Please, please start looking at the evidence and start stating, I need to do something. You have a responsibility for your kids. You have a responsibility for your posterity. If you do not do this, if we do not protect our Constitution and our individual liberty and sovereignty, it will be taken from us. The only thing for evil necessary for evil to succeed is for good men to do nothing, righteous people to do nothing, according to Edmund Burke. Now, I've kind of talked about this before, and I think this is funny, but here is your comeuppance or carmuppance, if you want to call it that. Baltimore Mayor Catherine Pugh, or Pugh, who's on indefinite home leave that drags on, donors for her reelection campaign, because it's about to kick off, which has raised more than $1 million, say they want their money back. Well, see, that's what happens. That's what happens. And so she's probably not going to run again. She's probably blown it. She's probably shouldn't be in office because of what she ended up doing. I mentioned earlier about the California lawsuit. Now, I didn't say this yesterday, today, but it was a few months back, I think, when I talked about the Supreme Court making a ruling that unions could not take dues and make contributions to campaigns and so forth. As a matter of fact, the fact that they were taking dues was, you know, a violation of their First Amendment rights. So they were told not to do it. So a massive class action, because there were two, I believe, universities in California and other ones, a massive class action lawsuit filed in Illinois on Wednesday could force unions to refund hundreds of millions of dollars in agency fees paid by thousands of workers nationwide prior to the Supreme Court landmark ruling last year. Okay, get that. Prior to that. That June 2018 decision barred public sector unions from requiring non-members to pay the fees without obtaining their clear consent. It already has cost unions tens of millions of dollars in dues, experts say, though the ruling hasn't been applied retroactively to provide refunds to workers. So the union is saying these are mild costs to the employees. And so if that's the case, they shouldn't have any problems paying this. But I don't think that this should be just a retroactive thing. I believe that the workers should be able to go forward, either go to the court and say, here's all the dues, here's my records of all of this. This is how much I've been working there and how much they've been taken from me. I want my money back, and make the unions pay. This would break the unions. And this is the teachers' union. It's the world's biggest and strongest union in, like I said, in the world, I believe, at least in the United States, it is. And so they like to flex their muscle a lot about that fact that they are that powerful. And so I have a little bit more good news as we start to run out of time. If you're surprised that California hasn't gone bankrupt yet, it has just come out that in the 2028 Olympics, the California taxpayers will have to bear the burden of $7 billion in cost for the Olympics. So if this doesn't bankrupt them, well, it'll at least help, right? It'll at least be a good catapult in getting them in that direction. On the last thing I want to talk about, the protests in Hong Kong about extraditions to mainland for prosecutions. This is huge. This is a huge assertion of the mainland Communist Party China in trying to take full control over Hong Kong. Now, there were some negotiations that maintained some autonomy here, and it looks like China is done with the autonomy. They are going down the path of saying, you are no longer exempt. You no longer have any protections. You will be tried in the courts that we want, and we have full control. And that's how they roll. That's how they play in China. They're ruthless tyrants, kind of like the swamp in right here in America and in Congress. Well, with that, my friends, I'm G.R. Mobley. I'm Reclaiming the Republic, and we are Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. So please stay tuned. We'll be back tomorrow. God bless. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.